We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years, 1 month, and 15 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Ned. How are you, Mr. Wizard?
I'm fine. I'm just wondering whether you've just fired me off in a direction.
Maybe I have. I don't know. That's future research there. We did a small clip and a cut. Actually, you know what? I will grab that and I will add that to the prep session. I'll add that right to the end of the prep session. And that will, yeah, that's a good conversation. I think we can go somewhere with that.
Oh, yeah. Historically, that could be a right.
Yeah.
Pandora's box.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people are already speculating about that. And for those wondering, you have to go check out the prep session. We were talking about the significant age difference between French President Emmanuel Macron and his wife, Brigitte, whatever. I don't know, however you pronounce it.
Well, we weren't slagging it off. We were just questioning about it. That's all.
because it could actually go. Yeah, because that's it. That's a big age difference. I mean, I know, you know, sometimes...
No, it's not the age difference. That's what people say. Well, what's age? Because they'll just fly. It's at the age when it happened, when it started, how long it's gone on for, how an adult could possibly manipulate a young person and to such an extreme, and then to stay the whole race for that length of time. It'll make an interesting story, you know? But hey. People are different, and Macron is definitely different.
He is definitely different. Yeah, we just saw something last week.
There it is.
Yeah, go on.
I just dropped a note. Where was he? He was in Paris.
He was
doing his war footing thing.
Was he talking up Xi Jinping? Yeah.
He was talking up money for defense. Uh-huh. He was talking up what they're trying to call as a headline, common debt assurance. That means Europe, that Macron wants... Europe to find 800 billion and spread it across a lot of you so they could get on a war footing. There you go. Common debt assurance.
Common debt assurance. Don't we have enough debt? I think we have enough debt. Like we've had enough of that by now. Yeah.
Do you think Macron will be adding to it?
Yes, I do.
Do you think any of those people that are actually paid by taxpayers' money will be putting their own hand in their own pocket? Or will they just be redistributing?
No, they'll be stealing your money. Yeah, they'll be stealing your money and my money and everybody else's money. And yeah.
Because they're entitled to do that. Oh, for your own good, of course.
Yeah. We should have defense. And we have to have reliable defense at that.
Yes, you do have to. Well, really, there shouldn't be a need for it.
Well, yes, but there are evil people in the world, and that's just the way it is.
There's more than that, and the trouble is a lot of the evil people within countries are actually pointing their people at other evil people, and the people of their own country don't realize that your own backyard's full of evil bastards. There's plenty of them. Everyone's got a share now. And okay, it depends what you call evil, really. I mean, that is a bit of a strong word, but you can guarantee that all your governments are now looking after themselves. They have stepped away from their stewardship and they're doing an arse covering contest because that's what they'll do. And because they're going to be looking after themselves. And that means they're not looking after you as they should do and looking after your countries. And that's Find me a country that's not doing it.
There's got to be one. It's got to be one of those island nations out in the middle of nowhere. It's got somebody's got to be keeping to themselves somewhere.
Yeah. They're sitting under a coconut tree with their feet up, having a drink. Yeah, I know.
I'd have the paper umbrella and everything. You better believe it.
Oh, here we go. Let's have a few headlines. Just a few stupid headlines since we're talking about stupid governments. UK, I'll start with ours.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go on.
Here's the EV stupidity, yeah?
Oh, God.
Right?
All right.
Right? Certain car companies in this country are getting pissed off. You know why?
Because they have EV targets to meet because of government mandates and they don't have a demand. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm right.
Okay. The point is, what was 22% is then going to be 28%, leading up to 80% of cars by a certain date.
2035. Yeah. Oh, 2035. Hold on a second. For clarity.
In the UK, remember, they said you could have 5 years, didn't they?
Yeah. You got to have time to phase it out. Just for clarity. Okay. So right now they have a target of 22, and that will go up to 28.
Next year.
Oh, and then.
And 80% by 2030. But I think they gave him a 5-year sidestep.
That's not.
It was planned.
But you already don't have
it's
a market.
It's impossible. For it. But you know what? The problem is?
Lack of resources.
They say they can fine them if they don't meet them. Since when can a government fine a company if they don't meet targets? A capitalist country? Excuse me? That is so wrong, isn't it? Because basically, you've got... No, there's a big hoo-ha going on because you've got car companies now saying, hang on, to meet these, we'd have to sell the cars without making a profit. In fact, for less than what they're made for, to get them out there so people buy them. And that'll just do our own company in. No, we're not doing that. So there's a storm coming. Because there's no market.
No, there is no market. You've got companies here. I was talking about Volkswagen, which is Germany's biggest auto manufacturer. You know, they do Audi, Porsche, obviously Volkswagen, Skoda, and all the others. And then you've got Mercedes now, Mercedes-Benz, and BMW, I think, are jumping on board. They're all saying, the top three manufacturers here are saying, we don't have a market for these things. The dealerships are full of electric cars that people are not buying.
It's garbage.
It is garbage.
It is garbage. And irrespective, it's just no good. Understand this, governments, yeah? If the people wanted EVs, they'd be buying them. It's a bad thing. Leave the car companies alone. That's from somebody who's paying your wages. Go bugger off, because it's only going to be the demise of the car companies. Unless that is, hang on, who would that leave to deliver all EVs? China?
Yes, yeah, so they've got plenty of them in fields that we can take off.
Yeah, they've got 10,000 sitting in a field somewhere. I know those. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like they want the car companies within our own countries to fail so that somebody else could move in. I mean, it's just ridiculous. What's the other squabble in the UA, in the political system? Every time the election comes up, waiting lists at the NHS. Waiting lists? Come on. They're just going to get longer. People are getting more sick. I wonder why. Nothing to do with...
No, nothing happened in the last 4 or 5 years. No, everything's fine. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know Canary Wharf?
Yes.
There's a lot of money gone out of real estate there.
Oh, has it now?
Oh, yeah. It's been devalued by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions. Seriously.
Okay, why? Who's coming in to buy it up for pennies on the dollar then?
I don't know yet.
You don't
it's
know.
Going
it's,
down.
It's going down for a reason.
The sinking value of Canary Wharf property has gone down by hundreds of millions. And these are properties, right? These mainly are properties by two investment companies, Brookfields and the Qatar Investment. Now, I'm not wanting to put an spanner or an odd jigsaw smoky thing into this, but I know for a fact that at least four of the heads of Hamas are investment people in Qatar in the real estate. That wouldn't have anything to do with them, would it?
No, probably not.
It wouldn't be linked indirectly there somewhere, would it?
No, probably not. You see, Ned, they're very busy. They're very busy. They've got meetings to get to, and Lear jets to be on, and you know, Gulf Streams, and you know, penthouses to buy, and things like
that. How many people that are walking on the streets realize that all but one head of Hamas is in Qatar in real estate investments, and they're wearing suits and everything else, and they've got a lot of money.
You'd almost think that they took business practices from the Russian oligarchs, because I think they do just about the same thing across across London. They put all the money in London real estate.
You're being used to shout the wrong thing. If you want to help the Palestinians, go out there and help them. That doesn't mean go to war. That means help them, not help stir it up, not help cause problems. Otherwise, you're just a verbal mind blank. You're nothing. You're spineless. And this is it. They don't want you to do anything. They just want you to shout, because they know you won't do anything that's of any worth to any person, which is on the ground floor. Hamas, they don't want help. They don't need help. They are just a top rung of a political situation at their end. It's the people that need it. No one else. Sorry.
And you know, well, no, it's fine. It's actually a valid point you bring up there. We've been doing a lot of aid drops into Gaza. You know, the US, the UK, France, Germany. We've been dropping, as in like food and water things, you know, for, pallets,
yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And most of that is actually been reported. Most of that doesn't even get to the people. It disappears. Hamas grabs it and they sell it on the black market.
Yeah. Well, they've learned everything from what Ukraine's still going.
Yeah.
The black market got bigger. Certain people within there got a lot richer, very much richer. You can find the worth of people in this world. It's quite open. And if you look at the people that are in the parliament in Ukraine, you look at the people in Hamas, they're not poor. The people are poor, though. Poland and Lithuania, since we're on the war footing.
Yes, we're doing. There's some doings over there. Got
repatriation.
Repatriation of who?
Of Ukrainian men of age to be sent back.
Oh, yes.
Meat grinder.
Yeah, I heard about this, because they did a mobilization of, was it 500,000? They passed it in. It was controversially done in their parliament. I heard about this last week.
There's an estimate in Poland of 200,000 Ukrainian men of age. I haven't got any numbers out of Lithuania yet. But you see, when you listen to them, one of the, they came out, right? So hang on, that idiot in, how do you say it? Kiev or Kiev?
Kiev, yeah.
Kiev.
I was corrected by a Russian. So yes, Kiev.
I did hear you say it the other day to somebody. Was it Melissa or someone else?
Yeah. I was saying it as Kiev and I got corrected, but yeah.
Yeah, it's Kiev. And I wasn't picking you up. I was just remembering that instance. But the thing is, it doesn't matter where you are. Say you were in charge of a country and you thought it was a good idea to be part of this thing to aggravate people, including somebody that's bigger than you, and you kick off and a lot of your people give it, oh, no, I'm off. Yeah, this is don't like war and whatever, but including the women, children, the elderly and whatever else that went to other countries, a lot of your young men folk left because of one reason or another. They just didn't want to fight the stupid thing, right? Which is choice. Now, if they've been accepted into another country and then you demand to have them back, are you actually treating those as people, or are you saying they're an object which I need to throw at that object over there in a fight? How are they going to be treated if they get dragged back politically?
Well, I don't think that it matters in terms of politics, because they're just going to throw fatigues on them, put a rifle in their hand and say, get over there.
Yeah, and you're a target.
Or find a target.
One of the Ukrainians actually raised a point. Before you mobilize us all and send us back, wouldn't it be more sensible for Europe to train us up?
That would make more sense, yes.
It would, wouldn't it?
And technically, we are training. I don't know what you want to call them. I think we call them like specialist regiments or something on specific things. We are training them in different places in Germany and in Poland already.
But this is a ridiculous thing.
Well, war is ridiculous.
No matter what, even if you train them and they go back, you've got people that came out because they didn't want to, and you've got people that want them back who are not going to care for them and see them as traitors probably, and God knows what else. They are not going to be treated nicely. There's a horrible regime in Ukraine. It's not a very nice one, and they're as blunt as they come. So that is not going to work out no matter which way you look at it.
Now, here's the bigger question. No, well, I would not expect it to. When you start conscripting people, I'm already brought up this point several times. When you start conscripting people, you're just doing body counts at that point.
Yeah.
And that's all you're doing. Now, here's the question. Because we've got Poland, Germany, I want to say Romania is involved with that. You guys are up on it as well, or you're starting to get up on it. The French are starting to get up on it. And we're looking to increase our numbers in the U.S. as well of our armed forces over the next year to 3 years, I believe.
That are able,
yeah. And then we're also starting to remove a lot of the restrictions that we normally had, as you talked about before, because, you know, the Royal Navy, we were discussing that a lot of those restrictions are being removed. And you had quite a bit to say about that. And I agreed with you wholeheartedly on your points you brought up. But if countries such as Poland, the Baltic countries, the Germans, and they're already openly discussing that here, it's not even a secret talk, they're talking about doing conscriptions here. So what happens then? There's nowhere to run. Yeah, there's nowhere to run.
They're polarizing the whole world.
Well,
it's putting on, it's this war footing, this return to a possible Cold War, which isn't going to end if it ever did.
It never did, my opinion. My research tells me different. So
yeah, exactly. It's just been a different facade in a different political angle. And it's just culminating in the point where we are today. And the people have got to see it for what it is, if they can. What else is going on? Couple of headlines. Oh, Russia. They seized a bit of money the other day.
The Russians seized it? Or is this about the Europeans opening up?
Well, Russian, poor old JP Morgan funds. There was a few
I'm surprised
million.
I'm surprised it took them this long. Yeah.
Yeah, they went in retaliation for US sanctions, we're having that.
Of course they are.
I went, yeah, okay. Why bother telling anybody? But who's at the top of the headlines? Oh, that Prime Minister in Haiti never went back to Haiti, did he?
No, he fled and barbecue took over.
He went over to Africa, remember, to raise
the UN thing, yeah.
For the UN thing.
Yeah.
He never came back. Guess what he did the other day?
He sent a letter of resignation. Of course he did.
He did. So basically,
did he send it to the provisional government with barbecue and company? Is that what he did?
Well, basically, what's happened is, because his name was Ariel Henry, wasn't he? He's resigned. He's not returned. The finance minister, Patrick Boisvert, or whatever his name is standing in until the council, backed by the US and Caribbean countries, appoint a new prime minister. And at the moment, the gangs control 80% of the capital.
Yeah, the gangs have pretty much seized control of everything.
It is a war zone. It is mental. So on that angle, that's happening over there. So he never came back. He stays.
I saw something else. Speaking of that part of the world, so you know how the U.S. and Britain, we've split the Virgin Islands, right? So you got the British side and you got the American side. Barbados actually has something going on with the Chinese Communist Party's People's Liberation Army, Air Force, or whatever they call themselves.
Really?
Yeah, they're accommodating them. This is what I read yesterday. They're accommodating them with allowing the Chinese military to build, the People's Liberation Army, to build a full military airport and naval port in Barbados.
Wow.
That is big.
That is. That's massive.
Uh-huh.
That's too close to home.
That is much too close to home. We got Cuba. That's enough.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Should I dive into that pot or not? I don't know. Pharmaceuticals. There's going to be another. The pharmaceuticals want a clean slate because they're paying off people now.
Well, they've got a
Zantac, this drug. They're paying out of
Zantac. Did you say Zantac?
Yes.
Zantac.
It's been around for years.
Isn't that the antacid drug or something? Zantac?
Yeah, it's one that was found with NDMA in it, you know, substance found in cigarettes, processed foods, stuff like that, which was classified as a carcinogen. It's been going on for years. And Sanofi, which is one of the people that was selling it, Pfizer obviously was one of the wonderful people that was selling it, Bert Changer, Ingelheim. And obviously it was a GSK, GlaxoSmithKline product. It was the actual, this goes back to the 80s. This was, remember me saying that this is what I don't like about any company that says, wow, we've got a blockbuster drug. What does that mean? It made its first billion. and they did that back then. This was the first drug to do that. If you're making medications and you're making it with a matter of ethics and morals and everything else, and yet you're driving it to make money, to be a blockbuster money-making thing, that in itself defeats the honesty. You know what I mean? So you get the advertising rollouts, and then you get the harm, and then you get the settlements out of. But the one thing I like is
6 months after you have the class action lawsuits to, you know, go after the drug company.
Oh yeah, but they're just settling to avoid future costs. And that's a quote. It's all about money, people. You're nothing but somebody. You're an asset. You're something they can use. So get away from this medical thing, because it's far dangerous, too dangerous. And if the last 5 years hasn't been the proving point for that, I don't know what is. Oh, I do want to dig into a nasty thing.
Well, that's why you're here, to dig into nasty things. So let's have it.
Well, I don't know where to start, really, because I really hate that word COVID. It's really grating on me. But it is all part of it. It's part of this vaccine. But what I said to you earlier was all this immunodegradation, and how many ways have we found out that affects the body? And then you find another bit of the jigsaw puzzle coming in. This jigsaw, this data, this answer has come in from oncologists, and it's after it's been far too late for a lot of people, and it might still be far too late for so many. And I need to actually just spit it out. I mean, I need this out of my system, and that is why I want to, so I can actually just, because it's horrible. It's another part of the jigsaw, because forget about, I mean, this COVID, it's going to be pre-COVID, it's whatever else. People are just going to, I don't know how they're going to bullshit this. I really don't know how to bullshit. But the thing is, I actually discovered it because somebody was bullshitting, called The Who, because they came out with a exponentially high number of cancers by 2050 for some reason. It's going to be up by 77% or something. And you give it, and they came out with something to say, oh, hang on, it's due to an aging population, alcohol, obesity. They even said cigarettes, but they never mentioned anything else. They never mentioned, could it be down to bad medicine? You know, could it be down to what's been going on? No, total avoidance. Didn't have it, done what they usually do. So they're starting the fog. I thought, well, why are they creating fog? And then I started to look into the levels of actual cancers, and they are on the up, but the cancer deaths are on the up. But these started to be cancer deaths in a short period of time. And I actually looked back and found some scans. The first scan of something called, and here you go, a turbo cancer. And then
I've heard that word before, yes. I've heard that term.
Mm-hmm. It is a publicly painted term that's out there. Now, I remember we talked about, I mean, it's like people like Fauci used to say this thing, well, there's antibodies being made by the vaccine. And our answer was, well, anything that goes into your body that's foreign, your body will produce antibodies. That doesn't mean it's okay. It usually means there's something nasty entering your body. That's the first answer from your body. So it doesn't mean everybody should take your vaccine because it's creating antibodies. And now, you know, that's all he could say. And it's become, the malicious picture has come out more and more. So, and I'm amazed we don't hear from him. He's gone into hiding, hasn't he? He's not backing anything up. He's done his job.
He's taken like consulting jobs gone on to like advisory boards and stuff, and he'll get millions just for laying in the cut and keeping his mouth shut and writing a book or two here and there, and that'll be it.
Oh, so he can have another picture of himself behind him.
Yes, well, right next to the glazed plate and the candles. I didn't even catch that until Bruce caught it. He says, "Do you see that behind him?" I said, "What?" He says, "You see that?" He says, "That's that glazed plate with him on it and the candles right next to it."
It's just horrid. But it's not the first time he's done it. Historically, he already had a practice run several years ago when he was younger.
Yes, he did.
You see, even on the media things, they like saying, for some reason, oh, such and such has had cancer and they've died, or such and such had cancer, they've died and whatever, or they're feeling bad, or it seems to be a media thing, always has done cancer. And there's lots of it out there. But the health community spokesman actually says, what's going on? What can be causing this? We don't understand. Yeah, really? Now, several, way back into it, in the UK, we had Professor Angus Dalgleish. Now, he is an oncologist, and he was one of the first people to raise alarm bells about cancers, because he had several patients that had been okay for years. And then they started taking the vaccine, and then they started to have problems again. Cancers were reappearing, and he put it out there. In fact, the university that he works for actually made it plain that nobody was to discuss or research the vaccine. And then he actually, I think he wrote a piece on called the "This Is the End of Science." And there's a platform out there called the Conservative Woman, right? And I went, huh?
We don't have enough of those.
But this is what it's called. But it's an interesting platform. And he actually put something out there, and it was really, it was quite interesting. And he basically called the COVID a time bomb, a cancer time bomb. And that was from him. I mean, he's still there. He's at St. George's Uni, and he's still trying to put it out there. I remember one of your chaps, I think it was from South Carolina, Philip Buchholz. He did something last year, and he sat down in front of your house, and he said, basically, I am shit hot at cancer genomics, and with all these vaccines that seem to come up with contamination of DNA, that's a big problem. Apart from everybody worrying about retroviral vaccines based on retroviruses, where they can, the RNA can replicate into becoming DNA into you, this has got DNA in the actual stuff. This has got contamination. And depends if it settles into your own DNA structure, whether it does or whether it doesn't. And you could have all randomized effects. And he came out with immune deficiencies. This is a possibility, this whatever. And your cancer's on the up. He says, I'm not saying this could happen. I mean, it's going to happen. These are things that could happen. And guess what? They are on the up. They are on the up, and he was so right. And one of the latest ones was, this is what I don't like about it. There was an oncologist in Canada, and he was really good. I mean, he had hundreds of patients. And during the COVID era, yeah, now they were doing proper cancer treatment on the molecular level, where so they were actually hitting the cancer-affected tumours and not affecting healthy cells. So they were getting it pinpointed. I mean, they were getting 85 to 90% curables. And this is even in stage 3 and sometimes stage 4 cancers. And the federal government pulled the rug out from them, shut them down.
No surprise.
The Canadian government has shut them down. But guess what? They've got all the information. The Canadian government, for some reason, in Vancouver and British Columbia, is creating two medical facilities under federal money with this science. So they've shut them down, and now they're creating the businesses themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they can control the numbers and the statistics with that, can't they?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It makes you, you're giving it, all right, another successful thing. Now, well, it's control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, it's even on the internet, it'll still be out there. Those lists and pictures of Canadian doctors that dropped dead, they died after they were mandated to take the vaccine and that, and you had doctors in Canada drop in. But the trouble was, there was also some of them were getting cancers, so they started to look into that. And this is where they started to term the saying turbo cancer. Now, if you go and look on Google, which will then have the first line of attack will be Wikipedia and that sort of crap. There'll be a total denial, and it'll say something like, this is anti-COVID, whatever, whatever, this turbo cancers don't exist. But people that are medical papers out there, actually, and I can actually give you the date of the first scan that actually I've seen and what happened there. So, cancer's on the rise. Google on the Wikipedia say it's an anti-vaccination myth centered on the idea that people vaccinated against COVID-19, especially with mRNA vaccines, are suffering from a higher incidence of fast developing cancer. It's not a myth. It is affecting people, and people are dying. And after some research and the stuff the oncologists are coming up with, the antibody idea is fitting the picture finally. Well, I mean, there's no discussion. And if you want to be referred to, if you want to medically look up who's backing them up, it's places like the John Hopkins and stuff like that, which has always had its foot in to back people up. You know what I mean? And it just makes me sick. The Imperial College London. Yeah, let's not go to them either. It's just the same old suspect.
Every time I think of that institution now, just that cretin's face comes to my mind, and I can't stand it. Mr. Armageddon.
We've got Mr. Armageddon. You had Fauci.
We had Fauci, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's just mad. But the thing is, what really makes me sick is, right, doctors aren't speaking up because they're just frightened of that being accused of vaccine hesitancy. Excuse me, isn't it meant to be choice? You're not meant to be part of a cog in a system forcing a vaccine on anybody. Vaccine, such a thing as vaccine hesitancy shouldn't even be spoken. It should be medical choice. Isn't that what the Nuremberg papers are all about and everything else? It's supposed to be choice. So after I've had a little thing, you can make your own mind up about this. Yeah, turbo cancers do refer to the vaccinated, right? But it's not spoken because I don't like the vaccine or whatever. This is information. This is what's out there. And it's just a suggestion, a warning that you might have something and your body might be suppressing it. And all of a sudden, you could have a problem. People should be allowed to be checked out. It should be openly done now. Everybody should be getting a full medical worldwide. I don't care what it is. You should be entitled to get a full medical. Right. There seem to be rapid tumors that don't show symptoms in many cases until they reach stage 3 or 4. And then they present at this stage. Now, stage 3 or 4 is advanced, people, right? Some of these tumors can be up to 10 centimeters. That is massive. That is well beyond it. And even doctors have been reporting, basically, they can try and cut it out or whatever and think they've got it. And as soon as they go back, they find out it's advanced into another part of the system. They are getting very concerned. But the thing is, it's not like the cancers that usually hit the 50s and overs, et cetera, et cetera. This is occurring in young people. This is occurring in young people. And the thing is, if there's nothing shown between stage 3 and 4, that does not leave much time, if any at all. It's not everybody, but like I say, this is on the up. The numbers seem to be going. So, don't know. I mean, the data's now coming in from 180 to 190 countries. I think there's only 195 countries, isn't there?
192, I'm pretty sure. Or 193, I think.
Ah, yeah, but that's in the UN.
No, that's worldwide. 193.
I thought there was 193 in the UN.
It could be that there are 193 that are actually registered in the UN. Maybe I misread it, but...
Yeah, but I think there are two that aren't registered in the UN. Can you guess who they are?
No.
Palestine is one of them.
Oh, Palestine. Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
Guess who the other one is. The Holy See. That's what they call themselves, the Holy See.
What?
Rome.
That's not a country.
It is.
Or the Vatican itself. You're thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Holy See.
Yeah, the Vatican. That's the Vatican is its own thing, yes.
Yeah. They are not in the UN.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Vatican's not. I wasn't really considering the Vatican to be a country, but yeah, the Vatican's it's a walled city. Yeah,
I know, but they seem to have a lot of heft for a very small place.
Oh, they do, and as a matter of fact, it's also one of the world's largest banks, and a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, they don't know what sort of money's gone through them banks either.
Oh, yes, I know, because all of that is kept confidential, and there's we actually don't know how much in assets they hold either.
Mm-hmm. Well,
worldwide, that's not just that little, you know, 2.5 square kilometer area that they have there.
It's the history of it is not very nice, but then that goes for a lot of places in the world. But if you're bored and you're interested, go have a look, people. It is quite an eye-opener. Right. Stage three cancer usually means the cancer is large. It may have started to sprout into surrounding tissues, even your lymph nodes. Now, if you don't know trying to keep it simple as a lymph node, you know when somebody says your glands are up and you feel around your neck, behind your ear, lymph nodes, they're all over the place, right?
Yeah.
These are the places that sort of deliver a clear fluid, which has got your white blood cells and everything else.
Yeah, your lymphatic system, yeah.
Yeah, that's your lymphatic system. Good. Excellent. So I'm not being condescending. I'm just trying to put it on a simple level, whereas an everyday level, for me as much as everybody else, when you say your glands are up, that's your lymph nodes. That's your system saying, I'm fighting something. Yes? And if the cancer's that aggressive, it's got through the vanguard, it's gone fighting through and it's coming back and it's taken over your lymph nodes. And when it gets there, it's aggressive. You're in a big problem. And that is what they say in stage three is. Now, come back to the talk about the production of antibodies, right? I mentioned IgG4. Now, IgG1, 2, 3, IgG4, they're all antibodies. 1 and 3 are the ones that fight your viral infections, etc., yeah? IgG4 has a very interesting effect on your body. And we were wondering why there are so much of it being made, weren't we? It was just people questioned this in a medical paper. Then you look into it and its purpose, and then you find another piece of the jigsaw, right? 1 and 3 are being the ones that fight your viral infections, yeah? These are your cancer surveillance system, if you want to call it, 1 and 3. Now, we know for a fact IgG4 has been seen in overproduction in the vaccinated. Question is, why? Well, if a person is producing something nasty continually and your body doesn't seem to be getting the upper hand, yeah, in response, IgG4 is produced. It creates a tolerance within your system. So basically, it sort of masks it and lets your body try and find an equilibrium. Yeah.
So this is the same concept you end up running into with the serotonin drugs, the antidepressants, where you've put so much of it through your body that your body develops a tolerance and it cannot produce its own after that. So there's no natural defense against it.
Yeah. You are not winning the fight.
Right.
So your body's creating a tolerance.
Yeah.
It's trying to create a tolerance for it. So you're going to win. You're going to live in existence with something you don't like, and it's not being very nice to you. But the only problem with this is, right, this coping mechanism, if enough IgG4 is produced, it suppresses the other antibodies. So now you've got suppression of IgG1 and 3 antibodies, which are your cancer surveillance system. These are the ones that are going to be giving it warnings out there, and you're going to get signs. So this is why they call in this turbo cancers, because your body is not showing the signs until it reaches stage 3, till your cancer's got aggressive, too aggressive. That is why they call it turbo cancers. Why aren't these showing? Because your system is producing IgG4. But they then thought, well, not everybody is in this situation. Why? So when you've had two vaccines, you start to produce a heightened level of IgG4. But it's still not going over the top. It was only those that started to get boosted. And then where your normal levels of, say, 0.04% was IgG4, this jumped to 20%. It was a massive increase by factors of 100. So your IgG4s are now suppressing your system. So this is where you get signs of immunodegradation, because it's suppressing all the other antibodies. You're just going into a case of tolerance while you're slowly rotting from the inside.
Nasty stuff. If you're like, if you could not have created a more sinister thing.
I tell you what, the oncologists are going through the fucking roof on this.
Oh, they should be.
Because they can't fight it.
No, there's nothing you
can do against
it. They can't
fight it. They can't, they're not having a chance to fight it. Now, this scan only came out due to a mishap, a coincidence, you could call it whatever, people following the mandates, right? So if we go back to the 8th of September, 2021, a 66-year-old man went into hospital. He had two Pfizer vaccines, right? I found out which one it was. Pfizer vaccines, yeah? But he went in and basically they gave him a scan and they found that he had lymphoma, right? So they found that he had cancer spots in his lymphs, in his neck. So there were some black dots around there.
Yeah.
And they went, crikey. Now the hospital realized he'd had two vaccines. And guess what they said? Just to make him safe before treatment, They gave him a booster on the 22nd of September. On the 30th of September, they decided to take another scan to establish a baseline for the cancer therapy. The scan showed that the cancer had spread rapidly throughout his body in 8 days, throughout his body. And if you look at the scans, it is, whoa. And this was the first reported case. And that was September 2021.
So they knew then, or at least they had the first documented case of it.
Uh-huh. That was the first documented case.
And we heard nothing about it.
Of something called a turbo cancer, an aggregated fast responded cancer, and it happened when he got within 8 days after having two vaccines he got boosted. Now, people, there is an the world's a big place. Whoever the minds that could come up with such things or whatever, they will have it. Look, if you had a nasty thing that you could throw out there, you would not want it to get to you. So, I mean, you could even take twists and turns and think, until we get the data, we don't even know whether there's specific places in the world that has been targeted, whether certain groups of vaccines hit certain areas, until we find the data and the cases. But the data is being suppressed. The media isn't doing anything. There is no discussion. As long as there isn't any discussion about this, there are doctors out there doing it. But I was in prep. I said, I've got an idea, Johnny. I think I know where they should send the data. That just popped back into my head. Personally, there's a group of people called the World Council for Health. It's doctors, it's humanists, it's all manner of people that talk about it. They've come up since this has been going on. They have some really good talks that they've been trying to be suppressed. Whatever. Send your data there, World Council for Health. Yeah? Send your data there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them move it. The more data they get, they can work it out, and then they can disseminate and put out to people. Yeah, that's putting it, put the date. They will disseminate all the data out to other people. And that's what they do. But let them accumulate it, put it there, people. If you're giving it, well, who do I talk to? World Council for Health. They say they're here to help. They want to know. Use them. See if they come up to it. Why not? That's what they say. They're a platform, and I think they would love it. They've always been there from the beginning for people who had supposed as or apparent as whatever vaccine harm and stuff like that, and they had advice, and they're still going. So it's an idea. Just do it. But for your own, a lot of people will be saying, well, how come you don't hear about this or whatever? I'll tell you, for you people who just look at social media, yeah, that look at your television and whatever, use social media. Do me a favor. Go look on the GoFundMe pages in your countries, yeah? And see how many people are asking help to pay for cancer treatments and see if it's on the up. And see, not just that, see the ages of them. Also, see whether a lot of them come from the mandated jobs, the nurses, the teachers, the doctors, everyone like that, yeah? Whether it's firemen, police, the ones that were forced to take it or thought they had to take it, because they'd lose their job and stuff like that. Have a look. Go find it. If you're on social media, just have a look. It's only a page away. You use the platform. Maybe they'll start blocking it. And if they start blocking GoFundMes, they can question that as well. Why? The trouble is, this seems like it's not just a flash in the pan. This looks like this is one of the long-term effects. Yeah? That IgG4 is now, that bit of the jigsaw is now in there. Pandora's box is open. It's just nuts. I don't know. There's people out there still fighting. There's doctors out there. They're willing to put their licenses on the line. Yeah, they're being threatened by certain peoples in power, and they've been told to come back to be re-educated, all manner of things. But as long as now, these are people that have written hundreds and hundreds of papers. These are people that don't like what's going on. Fine. It doesn't matter whether you believe what I say or whatever. This is just a question, because if you've got so many, if you're not the person you were and you've got all the fatigues and everything else and you're not feeling very well and you go down to the doctor and they say, well, it could be this, it could be that, and they just give you a medication. And remember, that's symptom treating. That's not actually looking at the person. The medical society aren't spending the time and money to actually look at the individual as a whole. This is your lives, people. If you're not feeling so good, or, you know, and something, and you're just not, hey, where's the life in me gone? Go get a proper checkup. Get some scans. It's your life. You only have one, you know?
And they're falling short.
That's not a religious thing. So don't come back at me that way, people, if you believe in something different. Yeah,
is that a jab at Marty? Is that what that is? Because he's going to get on the religious thing.
No, that's not a jab. But something I forgot. Rishi Sunak. When I was looking into this and getting slightly wound up about it, old Rishi Sunak declared a moral mission. What's he up to now?
He's got a lot of nerve to say something like that.
Well, he wants to reform the welfare in UK. cut the benefits bill and bring people with health conditions back to work. The post-pandemic rise of 850,000 in the number of people not working due to long-term sickness.
Was this the thing I saw him doing about the GPs writing out sick notes? Is this what I heard?
It's economically unsustainable, unaffordable, and unfair to the taxpayer. Sorry, Richie. The unfair to the taxpayer was paying for that bloody vaccine. And now everything else, the 850,000 people that are off work. But when he comes up with things like, we have the sick note culture, yeah? But if you look into it, doctors aren't writing more sick notes. In fact, they're writing less. Young people are over-medicating, apparently. Everyday anxieties. Disability benefits are being misused. Oh, my God. I just give it the neck, the brass neck of this bloke to actually come up with a statement like that after bankrupting the country due to a medication. Either way, it doesn't matter whether you're pro-vax or anti-vax. The countries have been bankrupted due to a medication. Nothing else. And now they're coming up with this. It's just...
Sorry, wait for the next one. They're really going to hit you with the next one.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what. You know that I was just talking about, you're entitled. If you're feeling bad, you should go out and get yourself checked out.
Yeah.
Right? If Rishi wants you to go get back to work, demand a full health check top to toe. That's everything. Brain scan, heart scan. Bloods the lot. And I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting what they find out.
I guess they're not going to be reporting on
that.
No,
they won't like that.
It was my understanding for him to just make the statement to tell the GPs to just stop handing out the sick notices.
Yeah, no. Oh, by the way, those are his words about the sick note, the young people over medicating.
Yeah.
They're all his. Well, that's a quote.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a total.
Well, we are out of time.
No, one or two things.
All right, go on.
Right, so the thing that triggered me, and I found the note that I wrote on it, this fog that they're bringing up, the WHO, has already rolled out the word that cancers by 2050 are going to be in very high comparison to previous decades. And they literally said it's down to aging population, tobacco, alcohol, obesity, and air pollution. Nothing else, apparently, right? So the WHO are running with that to cover the cancer problem that's on the rise. The other little thing, right? This will take a few seconds to talk about. September, really interesting month. The summit of the future is happening.
The summit of the future is... do I need to be looking out for Klaus Schwab and his bald head somewhere?
Oh, it's a UN thing. Don't you worry.
Oh, well, I'm sure he might be a keynote speaker. Let's see.
Well, this is really it because a certain person is putting out some briefs at the moment. Yeah.
I'm sorry. One more time. Summit of the future is what they're calling it.
Oh, yeah.
And is this like... timeline 2050 or 2100 or something, or
something along them lines.
Okay.
But do you remember a chap called Antonio Gutierrez?
Gutierrez, yeah. Mr. He's the UN Secretary General at the moment, I believe.
Yes,
yeah.
He is. Calling for the UN to be the one world dictatorship.
Yes, of course.
With him at the helm.
Right. Naturally, yeah. It's like Tedros being at the head of the WHO, yeah.
But once again, now, at the moment, people are resisting the WHO's pandemic treaty and them taking sovereignty on emergency measures, yeah? Mm-hmm. So since the WHO were created by the
United
UN.
Nations, yeah.
Now, UN mother, whatever you want to call them, right, are coming out with this. And I got Gutierrez going, and he's giving it, once again, using emergency rulings. And these can range from and include... climate crisis.
I was getting ready to say climate. They're going to base it all on the climate. Yeah, go on.
Economic crisis.
Uh-huh.
Environmental crisis. Pandemic crisis. Even a black swan crisis.
Has anybody pointed out that these people are the crisis?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Now, if anybody doesn't realize what a black swan crisis is, that is like when the stock market takes a boom.
Yeah, it's an unusual event that no one can foresee. Yeah.
Or he even pushed it up to something, a crisis with outer space.
Yeah. You know, I actually had a Wall Street guy right before COVID happened, I was talking to somebody on Wall Street. I'm not going to say who, I'm not going to say what firm they work for, but it's somebody that's been in the game there for almost 30 years. I trust this person. They're a good friend of the family and I trust their advice. and they've done really well for themselves, and they're not your typical screw somebody over. You know, they've always done well by their clients kind of thing. Uh-huh. And that person explained to me what a black swan was. I'd never heard the term before, and it was right before the it was in November of 2019. And I remember I actually said on this podcast, and I explained it at the time, I said that I was told to watch for a black swan event of some kind. Uh-huh. And we got COVID less than 3 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Everything that has a massive effect on the stock market. And COVID has. People made a lot of money out of that.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of engineering going on there.
And lost a lot of money.
Remember, that man Gates stood up in Davos before it kicked out and said, I'm going to make a lot of money on vaccines next year. And in December, something happened. Bless him. The Oracle,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, the Oracle. And you know what? Yeah. He's now moving to, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, he's now moving from injectables to inhalables.
Lovely.
Yeah, well, because injectables, you see, they're not reliable. Yeah.
Yeah, an aerosol is just a bloody good idea, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, you have those transgenic edible vaccines.
Shall we start a conspiracy idea?
I'm all for, I love a good conspiracy theory. What do you have?
I just come up with a really twisted idea. Now, if I was going to trial out aerosols, I'd probably buy up a lot of vape companies.
Yeah.
Just to see how that affected people's lungs.
Uh-huh.
You never know.
Well, that's a good thought. And of course, if you're going to do that, you're going to need a lot of water. Let me see.
Not from all those aquifers in America.
It could be all those aquifers that he's buying. Yeah.
I tell you what.
He is something.
The vape trail is disgusting. It's very harmful. I mean, just your lungs are delicate things, yeah? And if you're throwing chemicals in there, you know, the one thing we learned from the cigarette thing was when the cigarette companies put sugar into their cigarettes way back when, before they bought out all the drinks companies and put their money into those things, because once they discovered sugar made cigarettes more addictive. But the problem with sugar was nicotine seemed to be okay. But when it burns with sugar, that's when it really becomes carcinogenic. Sugar is a natural sweetener. Everything in nature is okay. It's when we mess with it or synthesize it. When we try to make a copy of something that's taken a very long time to get here, the design over millions of years to where the end product is now, when we start really messing with it, without really taking our time, we cause problems. And one last word, because Johnny nearly made me laugh there, so I want to bring something dark down on top of you guys.
Yes, of course. Bring the dark cloud back over top before we end, yeah.
What sort of tools do you think these are? Because I had to have a scribble earlier on, because I said, I've got an idea, I've got to scribble it down. And I just scribbled 8 lines down. I went, what sort of tools are these? War, famine, crisis manufacturing, i.e. climate, environmental, energy, food, economics, information control. Now, what sort of people would be using these as tools?
Communists.
Where would it lead?
To China.
What sort of society would you end up in?
A controlled one. A totalitarian one.
People. Are any of those things happening at the moment?
Yes.
And what sort of society do you think all of that stuff will lead to? And then you can start planning for it.
Yes, your digital control grid, your social credit system.
Yeah, that's my quick scribble. I thought, there you go.
I'm gonna end on this one, right? This was, and I told you about this in prep. This was a clip from a guest that Glenn Beck had on his podcast talking about the United Nations. Since you were talking about the UN and you just brought up all that, this is their plan to roll out the digital public infrastructure. They're calling it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So this is basically everything that we've been talking about over the last, you know, 2.5-3 years, but it's all condensed into about 3 minutes. So take a listen to this.
Talk to me about the 50 in 5 plan. So the UN has partnered with Bill Gates on this, what they call digital public infrastructure. It's a very fancy term. And I think the simplest way to understand it is they're building a giant digital gulag for all of humanity. So the UN Development Program has officially launched this. It was officially launched at the end of last year, where they're going to get 50 governments. They call them countries, but really they mean governments. Yeah. To impose at least some major element of this digital public infrastructure on their population within 5 years. So 2028.
Passports.
Digital IDs. Mm-hmm. And those are already emerging. In fact, many states are developing these. I just went through the airport yesterday. You can scan your digital ID QR code, right? So that's happening.
And that's really one of the main reasons for the COVID
Absolutely.
Nonsense.
The architecture that was laid down is the backbone of this global control grid that they're building. So then you've got the central bank digital currencies, which are already being unveiled. Right? They've already been released. The World Economic Forum just said a few days ago, 98% of the governments and central banks in the world are working on these CBDCs. Once they're fully operational, I guarantee you, they're going to start waging war on cash much more openly. They'll say it's a tool for terrorists and pimps and you know every nasty thing, tax cheats, everything you can think of. Then you've got the payment processing systems, and you've also got we just had the head of the World Health Organization talk about this recently, the digital health certificates, the digital vaccine passports. They're taking what the EU developed during the COVID, which, by the way, the European Commission was promoting vaccine passports in May of 2019, long before anybody ever heard of a COVID or anything like that. So they're taking all of this together and they are using it to build a control system that will not just be able to surveil and monitor everything you do on an unprecedented scale. When you combine it with AI, the ability to make sense of all this data, it's just mind blowing, but also to manipulate what you do. And so they're talking about this again pretty openly. If you look at the World Economic Forum meetings, they talk about the benefits of programmable central bank digital currency, where they will be able to say who can buy what, when, under what conditions. And then the Bank for International Settlements, you know, Carol Quigley, to go back to him for a moment, Bill Clinton's mentor, the guy who really exposed this global agenda to create a one world system. He said the apex of the system was going to be the Bank for International Settlements. This is an institution that's almost entirely unknown to Americans. And what they are working on right now, and this is not a secret, it's not a conspiracy because it's not happening behind closed doors, is what they call a universal blockchain ledger. They want to tokenize every asset in the known universe, every farm, every car, every house, every tree, put it on this ledger, this blockchain ledger, and then you're only able to interact with this blockchain ledger using your biometric digital ID, using your central bank digital currencies. And so if I want to buy something from you, I can't just hand you a $100 bill. I've got to go on my device, connect to this blockchain system, transfer the central bank digital currencies to you. And so this is a mechanism for controlling humanity that I think is really unprecedented in human history. And when you take it all together, it's very obvious.
Yeah, I did mention the 50 and 5, but it was not a long time ago. And yeah, it's the UN, the WF, and the WHO. Need beheading.
The Bank of International, or BIS, Bank of International Settlements. Good Lord.
The Bank of International Settlements, it looks like a big glass boot, and it's in Switzerland. And they are the ones that dictate to the central banks and everybody. They tell you, they tell the world what they can do, basically.
Yeah.
And they have done. And yeah, no, total agreement. He didn't actually come up with any lies whatsoever.
No, he didn't. He was very accurate. And that's, like I said, that's everything we've covered. No,
he hit it on the nose. I'm glad. I'm glad. And he's, it's scary, people. It is scary. That social system, all those things I said about those, just those last few words about your crises, the famine, the war, everything, those are all points to get you to their social system. It is total control, and it's not nice.
No, it is not. We'll see you next week, yes?
Yeah, see if I can come up with something interesting.
Yeah, we'll see if, now you're under the Macron kick. I set you off on that path before.
I've just forgotten about that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. But yes, we'll try and get back to regular time next week. Apologize to all the premium subscribers, but we had some technical difficulties on Friday that were beyond our control, so there was nothing we could do. So this will be out on Monday for all subscribers. So that'll do it for us for today. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I will see you next week. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.
Good night, all.